Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of the podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality in your life by mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. Now, we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sunday. And then I do try to throw in an extra episode here and there, on another topic, something related to mental health, mindfulness, meditation. My background is mental health. I've been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. And, so I try to add some stuff from my background into this podcast as well. Now, today being Sunday, we are doing our Zen stream. And I got to tell you, I'm very excited to have something really cool to share with you. Normally, I've been reading out of this book. If you've been listening for a little while, you know it's the book by Thich Nhat Hanh, pretty well-known Zen Vietnamese monk. But today, I thought I would change things up on you. And I don't know if you out there have ever heard of a gentleman named Alan Watts, but he's pretty well-known in... I guess the whole field of philosophy, Eastern religions, and just, maybe self-help even. But he's just a pretty well-known figure. He's passed away now, but he gave a lot of amazing talks, and he had, he was not really, I don't know, let me preface this and just put a little disclaimer out here, okay? I don't know him like extremely well. I've read some of his talks. I've listened to some of his talks, and they're always really good. But I don't know much about him, like his life, what kind of life he lived, what kind of person he was. But I must say that some of the stuff that he said and some of the stuff that I've read that he's written has always been incredibly insightful. And, you could just tell it's come from a mind that has... penetrated a little bit, not even a little bit, a lot deeply into some of the perspectives offered in religions and philosophies like Zen and Taoism. So I found a pretty short, I'll be honest, okay, this is a little longer than usual, or what I'm going to read is a little longer, but it's so good. I had to share this with you because as I read it, I was like, oh man, this is great stuff. And then, I thought we could use it as a springboard to then, discuss some of the things that he's presenting here and add some things that are coming from, one of my favorite sutras, the Heart Sutra, which I've referenced here before. And also hopefully eventually get to a point where we are able to take something from this that we could start applying in our day-to-day life to, as I always say, live a happier life, reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live more at peace and feel more connected. All right, so let me go ahead and read this. I don't have a date of when this was spoken. I am assuming this is from a speech he gave. But it's called, How Do You Define Yourself? So be patient, it's a little long, but not too long. Here we go. People say there was a primordial explosion, an enormous bang billions of years ago, which flung all the galaxies into space. Well, let's just take that for the sake of argument and say that that was the way that it happened. It's like you took a bottle of ink and you threw it at a wall, smash, and all that ink spread. And in the middle, it's dense, isn't it? And as it gets out on the edge, little droplets get finer and make more complicated patterns, see? So in the same way, there was a big bang at the beginning of things and it spread. And you and I, sitting here in this room as complicated human beings, are way, way out in the fringe of that bang. We are the complicated little patterns on the end of it. Very interesting. But, so we define ourselves as being only that. If you think that you are only inside your skin, you define yourself as one very complicated little curlicue way out in the edge of that explosion, way out in space and way out in time. Billions of years ago, you were a Big Bang, but now you're a complicated human being. And then we cut ourselves off and we don't feel that we're still the Big Bang, but you are. Depends how you define yourself. You are actually, if this is the way things started, if there was a Big Bang in the beginning, you're not something that's a result of the Big Bang. You're not something that is a sort of puppet on the end of the process. You are still the process. You are the Big Bang, the original force of the universe coming on as whoever you are. When I meet you, I see not just what you define yourself as, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. I see every one of you as the primordial energy of the universe coming on at me in this particular way. I know I am that too. But we've learned to define ourselves as separate from it. In other words, when you really start to see things and you look at an old paper cup and you go into the nature of what it is to see what vision is or what smell is or what touch is, you realize that the vision of the paper cup is the brilliant light of the cosmos. Nothing could be brighter. 10,000 suns couldn't be brighter. Only they're hidden in the sense that all the points of the infinite light are so tiny when you see them in the cup that they don't blow your eyes out. See, the source of all light is in the eye. If there were no eyes in this world, the sun would not be light. So if I hit as hard as I can on a drum which has no skin, it makes no noise. So if a sun shines on a world with no eyes, it's like a hand beating on a skinless drum, no light. You evoke the light of this universe in the same way you, by nature of having soft skin, evoke hardness out of wood. Wood is only hard in relation to a soft skin. It's your eardrum that evokes noise out of the air. You, by being this organism, call into being this whole universe of light and color and hardness and heaviness and everything. Whew, that was a mouthful. That's the end right there. What a great, great talk. And he hits on so many points here as I was reading that. But there's some interesting things, and I want to start kind of teasing apart a few things that he said here that just jump out at me. So obviously he says at the very beginning, which is important, he kind of prefaces the whole thing by saying, some people say that there was this explosion. And then one of the very next lines, he says, well, let's just take that for the sake of argument to say that that's the way that it happened. So I think it's very interesting that he says that, because the truth is that when you're using language like that, you're saying like, okay, well, once this Big Bang happened long ago, right? And like he uses the metaphor of the ink, which I love. He describes or he uses that as a way to say that, you know, it's very dense in the center, but as time went on and it spread further and further out, now we're like at these, you know, gotten more complicated and that's who we are. The idea is that I'm trying to get across is that the very nature of the language that we're using to describe that event doesn't actually reflect the true reality, because in the ultimate reality, there is no before, right? That didn't happen before. And it also is not leading outward from some point into now, right? That the illusion of time appears, right? Because of the way that our brains operate is something that I've talked about here a whole bunch of times and on the YouTube channel as well. So that's something that we have to keep in mind, is that when he uses this, it's almost as if he's pointing to a truth by using an already existing theory that many people have heard about, this Big Bang, right? Because that's like pretty much everybody knows about that now. So we're able to use that in our minds, it's a good way to envision what we are experiencing. But the very fact that we are using it, a concept, to try to understand something, already tells us that it's the brain's way of taking something that is really not graspable and turning it into something that we can understand, a story we can follow. Oh, okay, now I get it. Now I see how this happened. But in ultimate truth, it's really nothing more than a metaphor. The whole universe is now. The whole universe is this very moment. And then you just realize that moment after moment after moment. Is something that I've shared to you before, is that every time you take a breath in, the universe is literally coming into existence again, and it's again full of infinite potential. It's again full of infinite promise. It's a matter of us, you know, changing our perspective. And that's the next thing that he becomes very, very clear about a little bit later in this talk, where he starts talking about the senses, right? And how he's seeing the paper cup and hitting a drum with no skin. What is he talking about, right? So I'm going to get into that in just a second. Let me just pause here for a quick word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, thanks for your patience. I am back. Just want to take a quick moment here, remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me with a comment, question, concern, or if you have a suggestion for a future podcast episode or YouTube video, you can always reach out to me by emailing elucidatetherreal@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can come on over to my YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. Just post a comment under it. Say, hey, I just heard your podcast. I get notified right away when there's a new comment under any one of my videos, and I can come on over there and respond and have a little chit-chat. Always love engaging with people in the comment section of the YouTube channel. Also, I recently launched a Twitter account. I am posting things there pretty regularly. I often retweet things that I enjoy reading, and I think they serve as good little reminders, nudges throughout the day to focus on your practice, focus on your breath, focus on the present moment. So make sure you follow me on Twitter to get that good stuff. You can also message me, obviously, on Twitter as well. And finally, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and if you're enjoying the content, I hope you'll take a quick moment and just leave a nice rating and review. That really helps the podcast as well. All right, so let's keep going with this. So we've talked about how he uses the concept of the Big Bang to point to something, right? Pointing to our true nature, basically, to pointing our true nature. And I love how he's able to, very clearly using this concept of the Big Bang, he's able to show in a very clear way how we and the universe are not separate. As he says, you know, we again, using the concept of the Big Bang, he says, we see ourselves as something that is cut off from that process, but it is all one process, right? All one life. And this is something, you know, we've talked about before when we talk about the interdependent origination of things. And he says, and we're going to get into this a little bit more in just a second, how things only exist in relation to something else, right? So everything is connected. It's a long, long, long chain of causes and effects, right? Like I've said before, a vast tapestry, and all of causes and effects being knitted together, but it is all one process. And you are a manifestation of that process. I am a manifestation of that process. And it's still funny, right? When I'm using the language you, I, right? It's like we still fall into this trap. And that's something that is often discussed in Buddhism, is that original kind of delusion, is seeing things as separate, seeing things as concrete, independent things that exist separate from one another. But they're actually not. They're all just one life force, one process. And he does a great job, I think, here of, you know, through using the idea of the Big Bang, of describing how it's all one thing. And I love how he says in this particular line, he goes, when I meet you, I see not just what you define yourself as, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. I see every one of you as the primordial energy of the universe coming on at me in this particular way. That's wonderful. Now, the next thing I want to get into, which I just love, 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 love this topic, is he starts talking about this, he says here in this line, see, the source of all light is in the eye. If there were no eyes in this world, the sun would not be light. So, and he goes on to say, so if I hit as hard as I can on a drum which has no skin, it makes no noise. So if a sun shines on a world with no eyes, it's like a hand beating on a skinless drum, no light. Now, this really is twists our perception into a few knots, doesn't it? And this is the kind of stuff that I just absolutely love experiencing when we, you know, when we try to discuss Zen or Taoism, those types of things, is that when we try to conceptualize things that by their very nature are not supposed to be conceptualized, we get into these perceptive kind of tongue twisters. But what he's saying here, what I believe he's saying, and I guess you could interpret it however, you know, however works for you. But I relate this to passages I've discussed here a few times from the Heart Sutra, where famously, which is probably the most brilliant thing I think I've ever read in the Heart Sutra, which is, you know, sutra, you're totally new here. It's just a word for teaching. And the original Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama, the man who lived in India way back when, he wrote a lot of sutras, and one of them, the Heart Sutra, is typically considered to be, you know, a Zen type sutra. So he had early sutras, and then he had kind of a middle phase, which is more like Zen, you could say. I'm really oversimplifying this. And then the later sutras was like Nichiren type sutras. So, you know, his teaching changed throughout the years. And that's why today we have all these different branches of Buddhism that really approach, you know, they all have the same, all religions, right, pretty much have the same end game in mind. Even within the vast, large umbrella of Buddhism, there's a lot of different schools that practice in very different ways and have very different beliefs. So in the Heart Sutra, there's a certain set of lines where he says, you know, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no color, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no object of mind. And it goes on through this negation of all of these things. And one of the things I've shared about here before is that our senses, right? Our senses are so, you know, we don't. It's funny now with this mindfulness kind of making a comeback, which I think is great. You know, we are slowly starting to talk more about sensory experience and how important it is to be able to appreciate sensory experience and really focus on sensory experience. Because it's through our senses that our world comes into existence, our reality comes into existence, right? And then, of course, our thinking mind makes stories out of the sensory experience, right? But the sensory experience is always closer to our direct experience of reality than the stories we tell ourselves about that sensory experience. And in much the same way, when we want to experience what you could conceptually call ultimate reality, we must then go almost past the senses. Because as I've said here before, our senses actually block a lot more experience than it allows to enter. As I've said here plenty of times, our eyes, perfect example, we only see about 0.0035% of the electromagnetic spectrum. There's plenty of frequencies of light that we cannot see, plenty of frequencies of sound that we cannot hear. There are many smells that we are not, you know, we can't smell. So our senses actually block a lot more reality than they let in. So you can say that our reality, our experience of living, appears through the gates of our senses. So when he goes into these paragraphs and he starts talking about how light, all source of light is in the eye, what I believe he's saying is that if it weren't for our eyes, we wouldn't even be able to manifest light, right? If there were no eyes to see, there would be no light. Same thing with a loud noise. If we had no ears to hear, then that sound, that part of reality would not even be available to us. We would not hear it. So very, very interesting how he describes this. And then he finally comes to this line, which I love. He says, you evoke the light out of the universe in the same way You, by having the nature of soft skin, evoke hardness out of wood. Wood is only hard in relation to soft skin. It's your eardrum that evokes noise out of the air. You, by being this organism, call into being this whole universe of light and color and hardness and heaviness and everything. Now, if that isn't a better case for how we manifest our own reality, I don't know what is. And that's why we spend so much time here on the podcast talking about how we change ourselves to change our reality. Because the truth is, as Buddha famously said thousands of years ago, anything you could perceive in your external reality is mind itself, right? As I've said here a few times also, you never actually touch reality directly, even when your foot touches the floor, right? You're not feeling the floor, you're feeling sensations from your foot, right? And that's your brain interpreting that and saying, oh yeah, you label it as the floor. But that's not direct reality, it's not direct experience, it's only what your senses are allowing in. So it's just amazing stuff. And what I would encourage you to do, with now, you know, having shared all this, is I would encourage you to, throughout your day, you know, you take more time, whether in your meditative practices, your mindfulness practices, or even when you're having a conversation with someone, when you're just observing the clouds, the sky, the grass, the trees, feeling the breeze on your face, all these things. Take time to just pause and realize that you are creating that. You are creating that experience. You are creating that moment. Whether you know it or not, you are creating it. And it's just having that awareness. It just opens up so many more possibilities every moment that you are alive. So take advantage of it. I always say, you know, we're so lucky to have this experience of being human and having the ability to think about our own thoughts, our ability to reflect on our own thoughts, our ability to change our perspective, to increase our awareness. This is just the greatest, greatest gifts. And it's important to use them, not waste them, and at the same time be very grateful for them. So I hope that you will do that today, and I hope that you found the content of this episode helpful. I really, really want to thank you for listening. Stay tuned. I'll be back on Tuesday with another installment of Tuesday Taoism, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.